And it's time to bring in Jim Lynch. Haven't spoken to Jim in a couple of weeks. Good morning, Mr. Lynch. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Well, we've got a nice, cold, brisk morning here, but some news to talk about and some information to talk about as well with our wild economy going on. You know, Jim, I lived through myself. When Gerald Ford was president, if you remember the win buttons, whip inflation now, you've lived through it, of course, not only as a private individual, but a person involved in the stock market. Do you have any tips for people right now for surviving what we really have is runaway inflation and just some basic tips so people stay calm?
Well, we mentioned about 3 weeks ago to sell bonds 5 years and longer because the Federal Reserve had indicated they were going to increase short-term rates to combat inflation. Subsequently, the bond market has sold off, the U.S. government bond market has sold off. That means down in price, higher in yield. We anticipate that happening further. The Fed has definitely signaled that they're going to do at least 2 to 4 rates increases in the short end during calendar year 22. That being said, the trend in interest rates is going higher, and therefore you should, if you haven't sold some long bonds already, only stay in the short end of the curve, which is also going to go higher in yield, by the way. But you're protected. Your principal is more protected. For instance, if the 2-year or 3-year got to a 2%, it's currently about 1.5, 1.625. At around 2%, you might want to nibble there. But the thing is, if you're going to protect yourself, get out of bonds 5 years and longer. In terms of the stock market, we've also indicated in that call to move out of more stock and get down to a more comfortable portion of your portfolio in stocks. Going back to 1982, bypassing 1984, you'll notice, but in 82 we had huge inflation. In that period, we had long-term government bonds at a 15%. That was the high. Currently, they're at about 2.5%. So you can see in significant inflation, and I don't expect the inflation to be as bad as it was then, but in the significant inflation, longer securities really suffer, longer fixed income securities. So we've had a run here. I suggest you get safe and sound. In terms of the stock market also got clobbered in inflation. The reason being, stocks suffer from two things in an inflationary environment. One, interest rates are going higher. Therefore, the cost of a company doing business goes higher. Ergo, profits go lower. Further, stocks go lower. So that is a big risk that you have if you maintain too much of your investments in the equity market. Some participation is always warranted in equities. It's a great way to make capital gains over the long term if you can be patient in holding on. The key in doing that kind of strategy is you don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you had 10 eggs in the basket equaling equities, you probably would want to bring that down to 20-30%. And only in stocks that might really benefit from inflation, such as commodity-oriented stocks. In terms of inflation itself, my sense is this is a different type of inflation. The inflation of the late 70s, early 80s was actually fueled primarily by the Fed losing control over interest rates and people basically just borrowing so much money that they, using cash, were inflating all kinds of assets. The Fed under Chairman Volcker, the greatest probably chair next to McKinsey, Washington, that we've had, basically put his foot down. Long and short, this inflation we have now has been fueled by the pandemic. In this sense, Biden and the federal government, to avoid depression, pushed a lot of money out into the economy, courtesy of child care and X amount of subsidies to corporations and individuals. And they just basically said, okay, we're going to support the country as we're going through this pandemic because we don't know where we're going to end up. Well, the pandemic's not over, but courtesy of all that money, the economy has really done very well. So it's with that in mind that the Fed is saying, look, we have inflation. The country's done very well. A lot of people have made money in the stock market. A lot of people have gotten extra money. There's more savings now than we've seen in a long time. So the Fed is going to put the brakes on, and I think the Fed is going to do it over a period of time. There's no perfect solution to an inflation. Conservatism is your best bet. And hopefully your home will go up in price and things of that nature. There is a chance that this might, in fact, I'd say a very good chance, this will not be long-lived, primarily because the Fed is going to take away the punch bowl. So tighten your belt, be conservative, step out of risk assets. If you haven't already owned gold, which we've mentioned over a period of time, that might be a place for some of your monies. And I won't go any further because if you have a financial advisor, they might have other things that are more inflation-directed, but maybe even riskier.
Now, yesterday there was an emergency meeting of the Fed. It was a closed-door meeting. Is this what they were talking about in that meeting?
I would say that definitely came up, but when you say there was an emergency meeting, as you've defined it, that could be getting ready for something to do with Ukraine, rather with Russia. The thing is, if Russia does invade Ukraine, we will automatically be putting sanctions on the currency, on all of the wealthy oligarchs, on Russian businesses, on Russian shipping going from Russia to other countries. So the Fed would be very, very instrumental in doing that. However, inflation is now on the table. They don't have to declare an emergency meeting to talk about inflation. They've already told us in the minute Fed, they're worried they're going to be raising X amount of rates during 22. Conceivably, however, keeping it simple, maybe they decided, well, we're going to raise before March. They had scheduled the rate increases beginning in March, and perhaps they're going to raise them right now. That wouldn't surprise me. The bond market's accommodating it. The Fed a little bit by moving up in yield, down in price, which is what they want. So it's a matter of just keep your eyes on the ball and keep X amount of cash reserves, whatever, wherever you do, keep your cash reserves.
You know, it shows you how crazy things are. There was a press release issued by the Russians saying they're moving some of their troops back to bases, and that little portion of their exercises are over, and that caused the Dow futures to jump almost 400 to 500 points. That's how fragile of an economy the world economy is.
Right. We have, as I said, been a seller of equities generally, going back about 3 weeks. I would utilize this fake flag as a way to get out of more stock. Because they've only moved 10,000 troops, they've moved them around. They have 130,000 minus 10,000 troops. Secondly, it's been reported that their military installations are in place for invasion. They have not moved their military installations, their rockets and cannons and so forth. Also, there's been more activity with the Russian fleet in the Black Sea. And finally, more Russian aircraft are scouring the area. That is not a retreat. The 10,000, they could be, they're not back in Russia. They could go a mile and a half and still be available. Also, Belarus, a Russian ally, they've got their own troops at the ready. So don't be fooled by that. Russian, Putin is playing a game, and maybe the game is beginning to unfold now. Supposedly, he's asked their version of the parliament, namely Putin has, that the part of Ukraine that the Russians currently control become an independent country. And therefore, as an independent country, they could legally ask for Russia to come in and help them out. That's my supposition, but this is in the news. Putin has asked them to do that. I would say that it's a bad step vis-a-vis them getting out of Ukraine. It's a bad step in terms that this might set it up even greater that they invade Ukraine. I think it's time for us. I think Biden's done a very good job in terms of towing the line, telling the Russians no, and being prepared, the NATO forces, U.S. forces. I really think it's time for the Allies to huddle and say, fine, let's make the part of Ukraine that's not controlled by the Russians part of NATO. And then that makes it easier. If the Russians invade, they're invading a NATO country. It's the only way to stop these people. We're either going to make Ukraine a NATO ally, or we're going to have to take them on. You know, the Russian economy is in terrible shape. Russia relies primarily on oil. That oil is going to be cut off going to Europe when the sanctions are imposed. So they're looking at an economic debacle if they do this. Their citizenry in Russia is not as upset as they should be, but there doesn't seem to be a lot, according to experts, McFaul, for instance, who covers this, former Russian ambassador. The Russian people are not for this, and the Russian people have lived through stuff like this before, when so much money was devoted to Putin's adventures outside of the country. At the same time, their economy was off, their food stuff was poor, and that's going to happen again. I guess the hope would be that maybe the fighting starts and the Russian people rebel. I doubt that. But this government must go, and this man Putin's getting older now. He's trying to rebuild the Soviet Union before 1991. And he'll never accomplish that. He will accomplish a lot of havoc for his own country. Because, you know, those 100,000 troops in the border of Ukraine, which is currently free, they're sitting targets. I don't recall anybody on the U.S. side or the Allied side saying they wouldn't bomb those troops. And if you're out, if you look at these pictures on television, yes, they've got these little holes in the ground, but they really have very few structures to go to be safe. God willing, this all comes to a happy ending, but I don't think that's so.
All right, and in one final story here, which I want to bring to your attention and to other people's attention, and these are the stories that I kind of shake my head at. Elon Musk has decided to take $5.7 billion of Tesla stock and donate it to charity.
Well, I think it's rather simple. He's been feeling the pressure of those people who have said, you know, you can play with rockets, but how about taking care of people? However, I think you really should look at the underlying. Tesla has had an amazing, amazing rise in price. As we've said to folks, generally, with the stock market going from 18,000 at the low in the panic to 36,000 at the high, it's currently around 34,000, take profits. So that's very simply what the man is doing. He is taking profits. But I will add something to the Tesla story, which is hit over the weekend. Tesla has begun to spend $131 million in adjudicating racial indiscrimination. Apparently, there's a tremendous amount of racism in Tesla. And that doesn't bode well for this company in terms of people who look at these advertisements and then look at the corporation behind them. There's an awful lot of competition building and in tow right now in the electric vehicle. As we speak, George Soros has, I guess he invested a couple of billion dollars in some little startup. So I think this guy is basically doing what intelligent people do and take their profits. But I think Tesla is in for a lot more competition. And if they don't get rid of this racial situation, it's not going to bode well for their employee morale nor for their advertising of their product.
All right, and one final thing which really upsets me because I like them. The United States suspended avocado imports because a U.S. inspector was threatened. I hope they can settle that quickly.
So that's why you wear that big hat.
That's right. Well, at least they waited to right before the Super Bowl so people got to have their avocado dips for the Super Bowl.
I wonder how much they spent for that ad.
I know. I saw that ad and I said, well, just as we suspended it, that's going to rile up the American public and say, we want our avocados. I don't know, Jim. I don't know. It's a crazy world.
Yes, it is.
So yes, what'd you think about the Super Bowl?
Well, one, I was disappointed. I was rooting for the Bengals. But two, I followed Stafford, the quarterback for the Rams, for years. Very talented, and I used to get frustrated. I wasn't a Lions fan, but a football fan, that the Lions couldn't put it together. Very happy for him. I saw his wife and child, and they were extremely happy. Secondly, Beckham made the first touchdown. Former New York boy, who's kind of come back. It's a shame he got hurt. You know, the game in the first half, it was the usual game. For the Bengals. You know, they were kind of off-key, and the other team got away. So when the third quarter happened, I said, boy, this is great. Burrow hits an immediate touchdown, and they said, oh, we're off to the races. But then the Rams really bucked up, and their defense was incredible. If anything, one of the problems for Burrow was the fact that he must have been exhausted getting hit so many times in the backfield. Burrow has a long way to go. He's going to be one of the great ones. Thanks. It's nice to see Stafford get his win. And all in all, it was a good tussle. It wasn't exciting like with Mahomes and lots of touchdown passes and so forth. But I think it caps a very good year end. Unfortunately, ends on a very bad note with the situation regarding that coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
And we're going to see this now. There's going to be in the headlines for some time now until they resolve this coach situation in the NFL.
Well, like I said, I'm an Odell Beckham fan. I know he did some things that were stupid and immature when he was with the Giants, and the Giants didn't put up with it. But I'm glad he got his Super Bowl ring, and I hope that he can recover from this injury and continue to play football, because he's an exciting player to watch.
Oh, God, he was. He was. It was so disappointing when he started screwing up. But, you know, he's made his comeback, you know. Like many athletes, they kind of get it together and they come back.
Well, Jim, with that being said, have a nice day. Have a nice week. We'll speak to you next week.
You too, Marshall. Stay strong, everybody. We'll get through this.
All right, take care. Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, you can find Jim on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch.